Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication Call-In Show on LA Talk Radio. I am Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of our own well-renowned psychotherapist, Dr. Pat Allen, for more than 50 years. Tonight we have Patricia Eltage, Dr. Pat's collaborator for almost 25 years on the show as Dr. Pat is transitioning into retirement. Patricia Eltage is an author, dream analyst, and transactional analyst. Patricia will help you better understand Dr. Pat's teaching. Before we get started, please write down the call-in number to get answers and guidance on your relationship questions and answers. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees the number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback number after calling the station or enter this number into your contacts so it eliminates going to spam. The One Institute offers help and guidance with communication tools, and we currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat, myself, and Kelly Ward. If you want information regarding the monthly ladies groups, please email me at info@drpatallen.com or call the office at 949-723-0338 to sign up. You can also go to our website to be on our mailing list at www.drpatallen.com. Also, please get a piece of paper and a pen so you can take notes on the show tonight, and this show is also will be recorded and put into the archives for you to listen to at later times. And now let me turn you over to Patricia Eltage, our guest host.
Hello, Sue, and everybody out there. So we are here tonight to take your calls for your relationship issues. And later on, 5 o'clock Pacific, we go into dreams. Another interesting way of getting in touch with our subconscious. So for now,
tell us a little bit about yourself, Patricia, before we take some calls.
Okay, thank you. So I've been in the health field since 1980 and had my own clinic for many years with my former husband. And now the past many years, 25 years, I went deeper into the psychological aspect of wellness. And that's how I got into transactional analysis and deeper into the study of dreams. And my book on that is The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, found on Amazon. And what else do I do? Life scripts. I'm there for you out there when needed. And my website is thedreamclass.com. And you can all reach me. I'm available. Right, Sue?
Yes, you are. Let's see. I want to encourage everybody that we have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Hi, Patricia and Sue.
I am the caller.
Hi. I'm the caller who is dating the widower.
Uh-huh. Okay. I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So what happened? Okay. So he works out of town 5 days of the week, and he called. I didn't hear from him during the weekday. So he called Saturday, and I was out of town. And I told him I would call him back when I got home, which I did. So he said to me that he did not know that I was out of town. And he sounded a little bit surprised that I had even gone. And then he said, you didn't mention it. And I told him I did not. So he said, okay, well, I am running errands, picking up a few things, and I'll call you back. Well, that was last Saturday, and we're about to be into Saturday again, and I haven't heard from him. So just wanted your...
He said he would call you back after this little episode?
Yes.
And he hasn't called you back in several days?
Yeah, in a week. Yeah.
Then he, so when he said he would call you back, he did he mean I'll call you right back, or I'll call you back sometime in the future? What kind of call you back did he infer?
Yes. I don't know what that I thought he meant he would call me back when he finished doing his errands, because he said it after he said, I am doing some errands, picking up some things at the store. I'll call you back later. That's what he said. I'll call you back later.
I'll call you back later. And how long ago was that?
That was last Saturday.
Last Saturday? I mean, just a few days ago, Saturday. Nearly a week, 6 days ago.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's okay to drop a hanky in case he had an accident or something. How old is this person?
58.
5'8", 58?
Yes.
Or 60. Okay. Well, since you've had an ongoing relationship, at least a phone relationship, you've had some kind of a relationship going here already, and it would seem normal that you would wonder where he is. But you said you had gone out of town without telling him?
Yes.
So is that normal? Would you normally have said, by the way, I'm going out of town?
No. Because I don't know what we got going on. I don't know what we have. I thought we were dating, but, you know, even before I went out of town, I still hadn't heard from him for a week before he called me. I don't know. Like, it seems like I was invited to his home to meet his family over the holiday. Now he's going back to his old behavior, which is I'll call you when I feel like it.
Okay. Well, you can just wait it out. If you're not that organized with how you're relating, wait it out and go entertain yourself. You're not exclusive, am I right?
Right, you're right. We're not exclusive.
Are you dating? Are you trying to date? Are you available to date other people?
Yes.
Then date, my dear, date. Please date.
Okay. I have another question for you.
But you are welcome to say, by the way, you can text and say, I hadn't heard from you. I was a little bit worried about you. So since you said you were calling me right back, since you indicated you were calling me right back when we last spoke, and now I became a little worried.
Okay.
Or that's choice number one, or you wait it out and continue dating.
Okay.
Both are acceptable. Both are acceptable. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking I would do the latter, wait it out.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Can I ask you a question about the other person?
Yes.
Okay. So the other person is married, and I mentioned months ago that I was dating him on and off, or seeing him on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw him this weekend when I went out of town, and I did not have sex with him, you know, oral or any other. His penis didn't go anywhere near me.
Right. Right.
So I didn't do that. And
had you previously?
Yeah, like two and a half years ago.
Okay, some time ago, but not since those times.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
I was clear. Once I started doing that, I was like, okay, can't do that.
Right.
So it's clear that he's not going to divorce his wife. He gives all kinds of reasons, you know, money, this, that, and the other. It's like, okay.
Right.
When Dr. Pat was on the air, she said, send him text messages, you know, about the ring and date and wedding date and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he said he couldn't do it. Okay. So now I was thinking today that this man has been in my life like 40 something years.
Right.
It seems like I can't get to a place where we just leave each other the hell alone. We just can't seem to do it. So I was thinking, I'm 61, he's 66, and his family is provided for. I'm still single. I don't have any children. It's like, what in the world am I doing?
Yes, what in the world are you doing? What are you waiting around for? To go get some dates, girl.
I know. And the thing is,
You're still bonded. You're still bonded, but you haven't had sex with him in 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
But every time you see him, you get rebonded. Whenever you're near him, when was the last time you were near him where you were in proximity to smell him?
Oh, okay. That's the problem. Okay.
Was the last time you could get near him?
Last weekend.
Well, then each time you get rebonded. This is chemistry. Okay, you're recharging your chemistry, which is the oxytocin that Dr. Pat talks about, which is the bonding hormone. And every time you smell him, somebody you've had sex with in the past, when you smell him again, you're going to just solidify the bonding. That's why it's so hard. It just keeps you addicted.
Okay. All right. So how do I unaddict myself? I just got to stay
It depends on what you want to do with your life. If you're fine having him as a lover, we're not moralists, as Pat always says. So if you want a lover and you want to be a mistress, that's your business. But if you're looking for a long-term relationship, then I suggest you desensitize yourself by not seeing him and smelling him so that you can fall for somebody else.
Okay.
You won't be able to fall in love with somebody else as long as you're continuing to be near him.
Okay. So the thing is, I have to stay away from him physically at all costs, really. I mean, not all costs.
Only if you want to debond. I'm not telling you have to do that.
Yeah, I know. I do want to debond.
Okay.
So just stay away, basically.
Basically, okay. No, absolutely. You'll just rebond every time you smell him or near him. Chemistry is chemistry. You can't control chemistry. It just is. You've already established chemistry with him all years ago. So, and you have a strong establishment of that chemistry. So the only way is cold turkey, babe.
Okay. I got it. Thank you.
Okay. Good.
All right.
Good scenario. Well, good work. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's the thing, Sue, we always talk about it's not like we're playing moralists here about not having sex, anal, vaginal, or oral, just to do rules. No, it's because when we do, we are bonded. We're bonding ourselves to someone, and it can take up to 2 years to debond if they aren't the right one.
That's true. However, we have another caller on the line here. We're getting busy.
Good.
Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
I sure do. Good evening, Patricia.
Hi.
Hi. I called him before, and basically I wrote a Pat-approved high-bye letter to my ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a response, and I really feel confused about it. I'd love your opinion and input on it.
Okay, let's have it.
Okay, so it was a high-bye, first of all, for an apology high-bye. I was making the apology. And
The apology in order to be able to stay, or you a high-bye is really... A one that you want to leave.
You're wanting to stay. Yeah, to stay. It was a high bye to stay. It was the pain he caught, the pain I felt, and I was making amends.
Oh, you were making an amends. This is an amends letter. That's different than a bye bye letter.
Okay. Well, yeah. Dr. Pat did review
similar format. Okay, let's go. Mm-hmm.
I said it was okay. So I ended it with him, and I said also thoughts to your grandma who's healing from heart surgery. Blah blah blah. So that's what I wrote on it. That's what Dr. Pat said I should write at the end. And then when I called him before, and then he wrote back immediately within 10 minutes. And he said, this is so hard to read. I miss you so much. I want everything to be okay, especially you. I feel sad a lot and still I feel sad a lot still, and it's been hard. I appreciate everything you have said a lot, and I don't take it for granted.
She'll be back.
Just hold on. The station has to call her back.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes, Dr. Allen, it's a hi-bye letter, but there's also an amends letter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're back on. Sorry, caller, you got dropped off, so I don't know where we left off.
Go ahead where you left off. Okay.
Okay, thank God for that. Okay. I want to be... This is so hard to read. I miss you so much. I want everything to be okay, especially you. I feel sad a lot still, and it's been hard. I appreciate everything you have said a lot, and I don't take it for granted. We should talk when I get back to LA. And thanks for praying for my grandma.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautifully done, and you structured it in a way, and it was respectful.
I know that,
but what you did elicited that response because you did an appropriate thing.
Right. I did it the right way.
You did it in a way that they could hear you, that he could hear you and mm-hmm. accept the fact that you were respecting.
Mm-hmm.
So when you respect a man, he feels good. Because a man needs to do good to feel good. But if we respect them, they also feel good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I was really impressed with the 10 minute response and the response I got.
Work is magic. This works. The system works. That's all I can repeat is you do things our way and you will get results. And you will feel better yourself.
It felt good, but now I'm feeling really anxious because I don't understand what that message meant. Did it say that he's coming back? It didn't say anything, really.
Yes, it did. He says he misses you terribly. He's going to contact. Now, I can't help your anxiety. That's a feeling. And anxious feelings just exist. Our feelings aren't negotiable. Now you have to learn to handle feeling a bit of anxiety. And I don't mean with drugs and meds and alcohol. That means handle your feelings by experiencing the fact that you have some anxiety and busy yourself. Go to the gym, meditate. Take baths and do whatever makes you feel good to quell your anxiety.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing today, and I'm going to keep doing. I'm on a creative project right now that I'm just doing. In your opinion, do you think it was a positive response?
Absolutely. That was absolutely a positive response.
Oh, great. Okay.
It was very well received. I heard that as your letter was very, very well received, and he appreciated being respected.
He really did.
To humble yourself to do that. Yes.
Absolutely. And thank you. That's because of this system. And I've only, because I'm learning the tools and I really stuck to it. And I'm amazed. It's really quite lovely.
Yay!
it's quite good. And then the anxiety kicks in, but that's a whole separate issue, like you said.
Separate issue. Feelings do arise and we are human and we have feelings. So we are not robots and feelings come and go. This too shall pass. Live with it.
Thank you. And do you think I have a right to ask him if he had sexual intercourse with anyone since?
No. No.
No. I'll triple that. No.
But
it's none of your business right now.
Can I put that as a deal breaker though, in some way in the future?
If he does come. No, you can have it a deal breaker if you're in a long. Are you in a long-term relationship?
We were together for 5 years. Yeah.
Are you going to? If did you officially break up? Did he break up with you?
I guess I kind of broke up with him. Yeah, we did break up. Yeah.
Well, if you're broken up, then his penis is his to do with what he wants. If you were broken up, now if he comes back, you renegotiate the deal.
Right. But okay, it doesn't matter what he did
after you guys were broken up. That's none of your business.
But I mean, even if it was 2 weeks after we broken up or 3 weeks,
it doesn't matter. If you're broken up, you're broken up.
I know. All right, that's something I'll
Please, you've had good success with us so far. Keep up the good work and let this, let that ride and renegotiate your deal if he comes back and wants to have a relationship. Then you're starting over. You're starting over. You renegotiate.
Okay. I can't wrap my mind around him having, if he did have sex with his ex.
I had to get your mind out of it.
Yeah.
I guess so. Just stick with your body. Stick with feeling your anxiety and doing things with your body. But get your head trip out of it.
Yeah, that will self-sabotage the relationship if it goes forward.
What, if he did and I asked him?
Yes. No.
Yes, that will sabotage the whole thing. It's none of your business. I repeat, none of your business what he did when you were not in a relationship together.
That's true. I guess it's a little bit disappointing, though.
The disappointment is a feeling. Learn it to live with it.
I guess so. All right. All right. Well, thank you for your help.
And don't sabotage this. You did. You made great. Groundwork, and you got your results from the letter, and don't sabotage it from there.
Well, I just hope I can get, I really appreciate that. I just hope I can get over the fact if he did run off real quick to
You don't know he did anything, and you're not going to ask him. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I don't know.
If you ask him, you are bombing the relationship.
Okay.
Trust me on this.
And what happens if he asks me?
If he asked you if you had sex with anybody, did you?
No.
Okay, so say no.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess.
Don't so. Ask All him. Right. It does not leave it open for you to ask him.
I guess so. All right. Well, I don't have any proof of
You're
that.
You're starting over if he comes back. Get that. Get wrap your head around that one.
Right. I'm prepared for that. I did get prepped up for that, but it's just like, I don't know. I just hope I wouldn't find it a turnoff, you know?
It's not a turnoff because you're going to believe that he didn't.
Right, you're right. I'm going to believe he didn't because I don't know. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Thank you.
Everyone, thank you for your help.
Thank you. Thank you, caller, for calling us. Call back and let us know how it went.
I sure will. Thank you so much.
Discipline your mouth.
I am, and my mind. And my feet. Well, I am. I'm figuring it out.
Well, your mind is, I can't control your mind, but I can bring you down into your body, and you can control your own mouth, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm not.
You are able to control the other end of your mouth.
No, you're right. Real quick, now, the ball's in his court. I don't contact him at all to ask how his grandma's doing,
Correct. That's it.
Okay, even if I have letters here with W-2 forms that he should probably get at some point, should I just
leave that? That's business.
Okay.
You can mail them. Your business is separate. You don't need to call him on it, do you? Can't you just send him it?
I don't know his forwarding address.
Then text. If it's a time-related matter, you text him. What's the time element? April 15th?
Yeah. We have got plenty of time, actually. You're right.
You have time. Give it at least a couple of weeks. Call back next week.
Okay. Another question. I still have a lot of his stuff here that he's left, like big things that are taking up a whole spare bedroom. Should I even call him and say, hey, dude, you've got to move your stuff now? Or
figure out what you can box them up if they're in your way. You can put them in a box.
That's what I've done. And just
But don't say anything until he's ready to pick them up.
Okay, you're right. Everything.
If you need the space, if you need the room for somebody to stay there, put them in a box and then say, do you want to pick these? By the way, but not yet. If you want to put them in a box, if they're in your way, put them in a box.
Okay, so right now I just wait, basically, be passive because he's got
passive, the passive, patient, vulnerable.
And this was last week he responded to my letter. I wrote it last week, Friday. It's been a week now. So, like, do I just still wait?
Yes. men do not process time like ladies do. He still has another week, probably.
That's so right.
Or more. Leave it alone. Call back.
Just stay quiet about it. Okay, I'm staying quiet, ladies. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That is a great example.
A great example of being disciplining your mouth and handling your anxiety and your anxious feelings when it's not going as fast as you want it to go. Yeah.
Because from what I heard is she broke it off. Then she made amends to clean up what she said or did. He responded to maybe get it back together. And now
please
she's
leave your message for Seth.
Hope we had a caller. They went off.
Remind them about the way you get the calls.
Oh, please. Yeah. If when you call the radio station, Sam sees your number and he calls you back. And if sometimes we have the, if you can put the number in your contacts, it will not go to spam.
Voicemail. Yeah.
Yeah. The, yeah.
There we go.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. Who do we have here? Hi.
Hi. Yes. I have a question. Because it's kind of an ongoing question that I have. Well, I am engaged.
Yay.
And yes, thanks to Dr. Pat.
Good.
A lot of hard work. Now, the question is, there was a scenario today, and the common theme is I do feel like my fiance constantly, I don't know if it's on purpose, makes me insecure, and I start thinking like...
You said all the key words that we try to get you ladies to understand, and that is want, and there's no feeling called like, and no one can make you feel anything. So you can, if when somebody does something, you may feel something from what they do. But so what is it that he does that you end up feeling what? What is the actual feeling?
That I can't trust him.
You feel a feeling of distrust.
Right, as if he's very good to me, okay? He's very good to me. He gave me the ring. I'm on his social media, all this other stuff. But things that he says makes me think that he could cheat, you know, and
anybody can cheat. You got to stop. You can't put a straitjacket on somebody. Anybody could cheat. What gives you this anxious feeling?
Well, today,
feeling insecure is what you're describing.
Exactly. So today there was a conversation about one of his friends. So he said his friend, he was giving advice to his friend. He was separated from the wife and then wasn't separated. And his friend said to him, well, I'm in love with her. I can't do that. I never asked him, well, what advice did you give him? I just left it. And then he did say the same man had.
Whoops. Right in the middle of a good story.
She'll be back. Let's give her a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
We want to thank everybody for calling in. Please feel free to.
Hello.
Yeah, here
yes.
we go.
Okay, so here we go. You fell off.
Yeah, I lost you. So anyway, he was talking about his friend.
We got that. So you're talking. He's talking about his friend, and what's his friend? What his friend does with him? It has anything to do with you?
No, but I didn't want to hear this conversation.
Well, then walk out of the room. You don't have to hear conversations of other people's.
Walk out of the room while he's talking, just walk out.
Well, if you're saying you don't want to hear something, if you don't want to hear something, it's he's talking to you? Or he's
talking
sharing
to
with
me.
You? Oh, he was sharing.
Sharing. Oh. So then the other part was, I said, well, his friend hangs out with a woman a lot. And I said, well, that sounds
like other than his wife.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I said, that sounds like an emotional affair. And he said, do you know what that is? And he kind of looked at me weird. I said, well, I find that, you know, I think.
Why are you being judgmental? You're best to keep your mouth shut when it's especially other people's deals. This is other people's gossip and stuff, and you're showing him that you're a school marm or some kind of a mother superior with your judgmental attitudes. It's none of your business what other people do in their relationships.
Well, he did say to me that he didn't find that to be
He's cheating. Separated from his wife.
Well, I don't think he was separated. If they were went back together and he was having an emotional
it's
affair.
It's still none of your business. Other people's affairs are none of your business. And for you to start flagging him of your judgmentalism of other people's stuff is not going to make you look good. You're going to start looking like a mother, and men can't get turned on by their mother figure.
Okay, well, there was another part to that. So then he says that he didn't see anything wrong with that.
That's his opinion, and we don't discount men's opinions. We respect men to have their own opinions.
Right, he said he's that compartmental. So then I started thinking, oh, so who knows? Maybe he's having like a friend.
No, not go there, please. We're talking about somebody else, and men are very accepting of their men friends, whatever they do. And a lot of times women are accepting of their girlfriends too, whatever they do. So let him do what he does and not judge him for how he views his friend.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate
Stay
that
out
advice.
Your head when it's other people's stuff. And men are like that. They're just accepting of whatever their friends do.
Right. Now, I wanted to ask one more question, if I may.
Okay.
It's a quick one. After our dates, when he takes me out, right? Because I got some other advice. I don't know if it was Dr. Pat's advice. Do you say thank you or you just gush over the date?
Whenever you feel, but they love the more appreciation you give them for anything they give you, whether it's a good time or a physical gift or money or anything they give you.
Right. But during the date, do you say thank you or?
Say whatever you want, as long as it's appreciative. You can be appreciative. Be appreciative of their time and their gifts.
Okay, got it. All right. Okay. Well, thank you.
Good questions and good work. And and just make sure you keep control of what comes out of your mouth.
Thank you. I'm trying as much as possible.
Other people.
Okay. Have a great night.
Thank you, caller. Call us back.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question that I've had somebody had asked me. She's in a relationship with a gentleman, but the gentleman is also friends with another lady that he had dated a while, and he wants to keep this friendship. Oh, we have another call.
Hello.
We'll get back to that. Hello.
Hi. You're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Yay. Hi, Patricia.
Uh-huh.
Hi. So I am not sure I have a formulated question, but I'm having some second thoughts about my relationship with my boyfriend that I'm in a relationship with now for 7 months.
7 months, and you're in a physical relationship? You're sexual?
Yes.
Okay, do you live together?
No.
Okay. Now, why are you having you know you're in the imperfect phase now, 7 months. You're already moving into, are you negotiating something longer term at this point?
Well, we have been talking about moving in together, mm-hmm. and he's mentioned a ring at some point. We haven't actually crossed any of those bridges yet. We haven't done anything to make those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like he's not like open to like I was basically what happened. We just fight a lot. We argue a lot. It seems like.
Wait a second. Why are you fighting? What are you fighting about? And how are you fighting?
Well, that's the problem is I try to use Pat Allen's tools and I feel like I have been using them. And I even suggested like with permission that, you know, a tool, mm-hmm. But he just always wants to turn it around into some kind of issue like with me and that he's not good enough and that I'm being critical of him. And like, I was really stressed out a couple days ago about my business and I just wanted to share with him. So he invited me to share that with him.
And you asked if this was a good time for him to share that?
I did. Yeah. When I went over
and he said, yes, he said, this is a good time to share that.
yeah, he asked me what was wrong, and I mean, it was kind of a, honestly, it was a little bit of an inconvenient time for us because there was other people around, and I...
Well, that's not a good time. That's not a good time to discuss anything sensitive.
Well, no, and I told him that, and, you know, he, you know, I was like, I just need a hug, and, you know, and he gave me a hug, and you know, I used to smoke cigarettes, and he was like, well, did you buy cigarettes? Because you know that I want to do that when I stress out. And I said, no, that I haven't, like, and I got upset by that. So we couldn't really talk anymore because there's too many people around. So I just went into another room, and then he came over later, and he was like, are you mad at me? And I was like, well, I'm upset by what you said, and what, you know, we just started to argue because he was like, well, I'm just never good enough. I can't, you're just being, you know, critical of me. And I don't know. And then it just went downhill from there. And it seems like that happens a lot with us. And I don't know how to handle that. And he was just angry at me. And I tried to tell him, I just like, I need your support right now. I really need you to listen to my feelings. But
no, it's not a good time for him. You can't beg someone for their time to listen to you. You can only ask them if it is a good time for them to listen to you. You can't beg for it. You can't beg for their time. If they don't want to listen to you, they don't want to listen to you, or they can't. They're not in the headspace to be able to do it. They can't always be there exactly when you want them to be there. It has to be convenient for them.
Well, and I understand that. I thought it was a convenient time because it was an invitation at the first part, and then the mm-hmm. second part when he came over, it just turned into an argument. He took it personally, like I was saying, or like I was saying something critical about him. Like I'm not, and I just said, I just
well,
need
the
a hug.
Way you say it, first of all, if something say you did that, it hurt me. Say when you said that, I felt this. When you said that, I felt this. So what can we do at this, when you're already fighting, you can also do the timeout sign, you know, the T, the hand over the other hand, the timeout sign, if it gets too heated. And then somebody, one of you can say, I'm not feeling good about this right now. What can we do to help us do better? Or he can say, what can I do to help you feel better? But it doesn't sound like he's the one who knows the work. So if you want to say, I'm not feeling good right now about this, what do you think we can do to help us do better and me feel better?
Well, and I've said that to him, and he just said, well, it just seems like you're really critical and overly sensitive. And I don't know, it's really hard. It was really
hard for
me. You're
not feeling cherished. I'm hearing that you're not feeling that your feelings are being cherished.
Well, no, because every time I said to him, like, I'm really stressed out, he just doesn't even acknowledge it. He just wants to talk about
it. He's showing you that he can't handle it. Even if he says, okay, you can tell me, but he can't handle you being stressed out for some reason. Is it a particular time of day? Has he already had a cocktail or something? What's the scenario surrounding you being stressed out?
Well, that's the part I can't figure out because it's happened on multiple times and he doesn't like drink or do anything to where it would be, you know, that, but it just seems like he doesn't want to hear.
Why don't we just not share with him that we're stressed out? You can be stressed out. And then if he asks you, you can be stressed out and then just be quiet. Where's the scenario where you have to be around him when you're stressed out? Do you need to be around him when you're stressed out?
I mean, we spend time together. So, I mean, he does pick up on if I'm stressed out.
Well, then if he asks you, that's one thing. But if he doesn't ask you, just be upset or don't be around him until you're not stressed out. What is it that's stressing you out? Let's get to the bottom of this first so we can de-stress you and get you to be around him when you are less stressed. Men typically don't want to be around you necessarily if you're not fun, and stressed out women aren't fun. So what is stressing you out?
Yeah. I'm my own boss. I run a business, and it's been slow and I am like worried about money. And
you're worried about money. You're anxious about money. Okay. He does not want to feel that with you. Where do you come over to see? How do you end up getting together? Is it after your work?
Yeah, usually after work and he comes over.
He comes over to your place. Can you allot the time where you stop working and make a time where you go take a hot bath with Epsom salts before he comes over and shift your mood from the stress that you have created in your workplace? Do you work from home?
I do, actually. But I did that. I actually took a bath before he came over that night to try to de-stress myself. And
meditate. You know, do you ever try meditation? And
meditate
for 20 minutes?
That,
yeah. Before he comes over, though, do the bath and at least a minimum of 10-minute meditation before he comes over. Because you're not fun to be around. And men need somebody. They want a muse. A muse is somebody who's fun to be around.
Well, I'm usually really fun to be around, and we enjoy each other's presence. And
well, then don't share with him you're stressed out. Somehow learn to manage your stress some way. And if you want to do some dream work with me, I'll help you get to the bottom of how you're getting stressed and how you can manage your stress and how you can target what is getting to you. But he doesn't want to feel it. It's
no,
clear.
I mean, and that's the thing. I was just like, I need your support, you know.
You're emotional. Not going to get it from him. Get it from your girlfriends or from us. You're not going to. He's demonstrated already. You're not going to get that from him.
Well, it doesn't feel like I, but it just discourages me from being in a relationship. Because what if I'm stressed out?
You don't need him to be your therapist. You want him to be a mate. And not all mates are touchy, you know, great with feelings. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, he's
definitely
not. Like he's
are you looking for daddy? Are you looking for a daddy figure? Then not all men are going to come. If that's the case, you're barking up the wrong tree with him. He's clearly demonstrating he doesn't want to be a daddy figure.
Well, I don't want a daddy figure.
Well, you're acting like it. You're acting like it. So find people that you can talk about your stressful situations to, and I do dream work, and I do other forms of coaching where we can help you manage your stress, all kinds of ways for stress management, but it clearly, he's demonstrating he is not going to be that guy, that person.
Yeah, and that was my concern, is like, does that ground to terminate a relationship?
Because no, it's not. Absolutely not. Okay. He's just not a daddy type, okay?
Then I accept that. I don't...
Can you... Is he 50? Is he at least 51% most of the time?
Yeah.
Valuable? Is he?
Yes.
Okay. So he has all these other qualities, and he just can't handle... your anxious feelings and your stressed feelings.
Yeah, I know. I guess my perception was that it feels like he's selfish in a lot of ways. Like
no, he's not selfish. No, no, he's just not that type. A lot of men don't like to be around anxious women.
Yeah, well, yeah, I get it.
Please get that. Please get that. Do yourself this huge favor and understand that.
Okay. Okay.
Do you want to join one of the women's groups at the Wan Institute?
Well, I am actually in one.
Okay.
I do all these things, and I feel like he just doesn't want to. I know I talk to him about the tools, and I
don't talk to him about it. Just practice them. Just do your tools. Do your stress management. This is how you are an individuated person. You have to be a whole you. You have to be an I before you can be a we. He's obviously an I, but he doesn't want to be a we with somebody who isn't an I.
Yeah, no, I
you need to be a healthy I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just have a hard time getting across. I don't know, maybe like you said.
You don't want to get this across to him. He will look at you like a broken person. We don't want him to view you like a broken person. We want our men to view us as a whole, healthy person.
when I feel like I am, and you know,
you're not acting like it when you're telling him how stressed out you are, and you're not acting fun to be around.
Well, I guess, how do I repair it? Because
you just start behaving how we're talking about. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself by managing your stress, finding ways to manage your stress, which I will give you many tools if you so choose. And you're in a group. That's a good start. And don't dump your crap on him. Men don't want to be a dumping ground.
Yeah.
They don't want it.
Because he asked me to
get him to be a dumping ground, and he's not accepting the position.
No.
He's clearly an I, and he does not want a broken person to be next to. Please hear that.
Okay.
We want to help you develop into a strong, or a potent, I should say, a potent I, an individuated, healthy human being who can then be partnered with another healthy human being.
Right.
Thank you, caller. Call us back next week and let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
There's some great books.
Really good.
That is, Dr. Robert Johnson, and it is He, She, and We. Those are great little books, and they really help people understanding how you want to be.
We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
Yeah, I do have a question.
Good.
Okay, my question is, I'm going through a breakup methods, and we have a meeting in February for the closer. So I feel like I'm doing everything the healthy way.
Okay. So you want to follow through with the breakup?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so that's something you've come to, a conclusion for yourself so you can move forward, it sounds like.
Right, and which brings me to my next question.
Okay.
I have a friend that definitely, like, we're really good friends, but sometimes I think we both like each other, but it could never, like, work out, so we just stay friends, but it's a little confusing.
Confusing because it's a male friend and you're wondering if it could possibly be more than just a friend? Is that what I'm hearing?
I guess so.
This is not the boyfriend you want to break up with. You're talking about yet another person.
Right.
So the other person is someone you've known a while, a friend, right?
Yeah, a really good friend. Sometimes it is just fine to stay friends, right?
Of course. Stay friends with the old boyfriend or friends with the friend?
Friends with the friend. Well, I guess my question is because sometimes, you know, things get a little bit more, like, communication-wise. Like, I don't know, how am I trying to explain this?
Is it you think that he's indicating that he would want more than friendship?
Yeah, but then I guess you could say feels like he's not worth it or something, because then he'll just be like, you know, never mind, like, you deserve better. And so I just get confused.
He talks as if he would possibly be your boyfriend, and then he goes, never mind?
Basically.
Well, let's hear what it really sounds like. Now, basically, I want to hear what it sounds like.
Well, it really sounds like... he's just going through a lot in his personal life, and I think that he doesn't want to ruin what we have as a friend. by jumping into a relationship when we're both not ready.
Well, he's right about that. You know what? The friendship ends after the first lay, and then it's something else. So it would change the relationship of friend, unless you want a friend with benefits, which some people like. But you have to look at that very carefully, what's more important to you to maintain this person as a longtime friend. But if you have chemistry with the person and he seems like he could be a potential long-term partner, then it's great to have been friends with somebody first. But do realize that you will not be friends in that way after the first lay.
Gotcha. So basically,
it does change the dynamic. 100% changes the dynamic.
Okay.
So think about it carefully and feel how you feel in your gut about this person. And if you think, do you feel good around this person? As far as your body, you have chemistry with him?
I think there's chemistry, and I just think that it's always been easy for me to talk to people and get along with people, but I've never felt like other people understood me. So I feel like he really understands who I am, and that's just something
he understands. Who the hand trip? Now you're talking about how you view him as a friend. That's all good friend stuff. But how does your body feel when you're around him?
Like I just want to jump his bones.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm talking about here. You do have chemistry with him. That's the bodily sensation. So you could conceivably be lovers or boyfriend and girlfriend, and possibly could be more. So as long as your body feels that, then you have chemistry. So go explore it. What the hell?
All right. Well, thanks, Patricia.
Thank you. Always call back and give us some good stuff. You know, I always encourage people who are listening, but never call, to feel relaxed about calling in. We're just letting our hair down here, and we talk about everything and anything. So
call again. No question is a stupid question. They're all good.
And no question is out of range here. Just as far as, it's LA Talk Radio. You can say, let your hair hang down, okay?
All right. Thanks, ladies.
Bye.
Bye.
We're going to be shifting over to the dream part in a little bit. I wanted to get back, maybe if we have time, to the question I was asking you before. Mm-hmm. A lady's in a relationship with the guy who is still friends with an ex-lover, and the lady wants him not to see her anymore, but he insists they're just friends. What's your intake on that?
Well, as long as they go along together. So if they've been lovers, I know Dr. Pat has always said, if you want to get together with your friend, we go together. So see your friend together. And we can go out to dinner, go out to coffee together, the three of us.
Yeah, she doesn't want to go meet. He's invited her to meet this other lady, but she refuses to. She says it's too weird and uncomfortable. He wants her not to have any contact with
her. No, she can't do that. That's not fair. And that does tell her to grow up. Okay. This is like, put your big girl panties on, and that's being respectful of him, and he's being cherishing. That is very cherishing of him to invite you to come along and just grow up, okay?
But he's telling this old girlfriend about the problems in their relationship. So
you can set that boundary.
Yes.
No, you don't get to do that. And you don't get to have private chats about your relation. No, you set a boundary there for sure. You say this way, I appreciate that you have your friend and you share things. However, I'm uncomfortable with you sharing with that person about our person or anybody, our personal relationship. It's not a therapist. It's not a coach. And I'm not comfortable with it. So are you willing to not do that? To help me feel better.
Yeah, she did. And apparently they're on a breakup because he says she's codependent and he gave her a book to read. So she read it.
Oh, and he's a therapist and he can die.
Well, I think he wants a harem, in my opinion. He wants all the women. Yeah, sounds like
he wants
the
harem and he wants to gossip about their relationship. Yeah. And if she's uncomfortable with that, she can make that a non-negotiable for her.
Yeah.
You can have a couple, you can have a few very limited, but some non-negotiables in your relationship. That's a boundary that she can set for herself.
Yes. So, okay. Thanks for answering that.
Yes.
I'll pass that on to her. I also want to do some advertisement here. Dr. Pat, myself and Kelly Ward, we do have monthly ladies groups. We will be starting another one in February. So if you want to get on the list for the openings, we have variable times. You can call me at the office at 949-723-0338 or email me at info@drpatallen.com. And that's info@drpatallen.com. If you have any other questions, I'll do my best to help you if you want to send me an email as well. And also Patricia does dreams interpretation. She also does life scripts. And I think she may be starting up a men's group in the future we're working on.
Men feel free to call me too. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And she also does some private sessions she's good at the couples coaching. So if you have a spouse or like the lady before, there were the two of them, that would be something that maybe if there was a problem, they contact you for couples counseling. So they both can learn how to communicate.
Communication tools for two.
Yes. And there's also on Dr. Allen's website, there's a video, a streaming video on chemistry, compatibility, and communication. It's on our website, www.drpatallen.com. There's a link that you just go down, scroll down, and it says free access. And you can watch Dr. Allen work with couples with her communication tools.
And everyone should know about Getting to I Do that can be found. It's been on the bestseller list for many, many years, Getting to I Do with all the tools in it. And then there is the other books you might want to mention too.
There's Staying Married and Loving It. That's available. That one is hard to get. It's been out of print. There's Conversational Rape, which is a great communication book. And then her new book, It's a Man's World in a Woman's Universe. You can purchase all of those on Amazon.com. And there may be some other, I think it's The Truth About Men. And then there's some other books that Dr. Allen helped write with other.
Oh, there was another one she collaborated with a colleague called Everything You Wanted to Know About Men. But first, it will piss you off.
Yeah, they changed that. The Truth About Men Will Set You Free. They changed it. They updated it. So it's now called The Truth About Men Will Set You Free.
But the original title was, But First, It Will Piss You Off.
Yeah, that was it. They kind of combined it and made it
a little too PC.
Yeah. Yeah, so many books out there. And then we also have Dr. Allen's reading list if you want to go to our website. It's www.wantinstitute.net. It's got a list of Dr. Allen's recommended book list. Please feel free to check that out. www.wantinstitute.net. And the Want Institute website is wantinstitute.org. It's for any upcoming classes, workshops, ladies groups, all the information will be available to view on that. Patricia, it's getting ready for our second half hour or second hour when you'll go ahead and interpret dreams for our audience. Tell us a little bit about dream interpretation and how people can do their dreams.
Yes.
Gather them and interpret them.
Yes. I like to talk about dreams in my book again for those just tuning in to Dr. Pat Allen's Empowered Communication radio show. But this section is about dreams. And my book is The Dream Class, found on Amazon. And all 5-star reviews are welcome, by the way. But it's a beautiful book. It's also a coffee table style book because there's 22 dreamlike images in it to enhance it. But I really get into how we can access our own subconscious mind through our dreams. And that is really, our dreams are the backdoor entrance to our own subconscious, which is, FYI, our own sixth sense. So I'm training people to facilitate their awareness to be in touch with their own sixth sense. So that being said, the way we do it is, talk about it in chapter 7, by the way, and that is to keep a pad by your bed. This is how you capture your dreams to start with when you're starting your dream practice. And before you go to bed, you say to yourself something you might want to work on, resolved in your life, something you might want some decision making, or that you're wanting to just enhance your life in some way. So you can pose that question to yourself and you can write it in your pad. Close your eyes, go to sleep, wake up, but don't open your eyes upon waking. That is the trick, because we are in this very unique state of consciousness between sleeping and waking. It's called the Lyman state, as in subliminal Lyman. Well, the Lyman state of consciousness is that little 3 to 4 minute period where you are halfway in your subconscious and halfway coming towards consciousness. And if you keep your eyes closed for that 3 to 4 minute period, you will be able to access, you will remember and see the images that you last saw that were running through your dream world, and that you scribble in your page just with your eyes closed. Just grab it and scribble, oh, road, hill, tree, dog, scribble. You can write the scenario later, but the symbols are very important, because our dream world comes to us, the messages that come to us through our dreams come to us in symbols. And there's a hierarchy of the symbols. The symbols come in terms of, one moment, my throat coat tea, thank you.
You've been talking a lot tonight here.
Yeah, I talk a lot. Known for that. The hierarchy is people, nature, and things as symbols. And the further away from coming to consciousness about a particular a message is things. That's at the bottom of the hierarchy. So that's inanimate objects. Then we come up the ladder and we're into nature. Nature is animals, landscape, rivers, oceans, horses, dogs, cats. Then the next level up towards consciousness, getting the message, is people. So when we're dreaming of people, we are closer to getting the message. Now, when I talk about a message, the message that's messages that are coming to us through our dreams, it's like getting a message in a bottle that you found that came up on the shore at the ocean. You open the message from the bottle and great, it's in Greek. What do? Well, I learned to translate the message. So here's where we are. Now, the other element besides people, nature, and things, we dream in terms of the masculine and feminine. And this is where Dr. Pat Allen and I worked on this for years, of bringing this element to understanding our masculine side. We all have a masculine and a feminine side. So it's the yang is the masculine, the yin is the feminine. And our feeling centeredness is the feminine, the yin, and our mental productivity side of us, our ideas, our thinking, and our productivity is the masculine side of us. So whether we're male or female, bodily, we all have masculine and feminine energy in us. So that being said, our dreams come to us in these ways too. So when we're dreaming of a certain type of things that are feminine, but when we dream in people, if you're dreaming of a woman, you're actually dreaming of your masculine side. And if you're dreaming of a man or a boy, you're dreaming of your feminine side. And that is because this was Dr. Carl Jung's work, and that is the anima and the animus. Actually, his wife wrote the book, Emma Jung, on the anima and animus. And as Dr. Pat Allen like to say, the soul of a woman is male, but the soul of a man is female. So that is the paradox. And it starts to be more understandable as we go. So if someone calls in with a dream, we'll give some examples. We'll work with your dreams and show you what I'm doing is reflecting the message to you, so that you can have the aha yourself.
Oh, we have a caller. Hi. Caller. Do you have a dream for Patricia?
Yeah, I do. So I don't remember. Usually I remember a lot more of the details of my dreams, but this particular dream, I just remember that I knew, or I just had information that like the world was coming to an end. It was like an apocalypse or something. And it wasn't like, it wasn't even scary. It just felt like, oh, the world is going to come to an end. And then I remember waking up and thinking, oh, that's so interesting, because in a lot of ways, my world is coming to an end right now. Mm-hmm. But then I went back to sleep, and then I felt I had the same dream, but for a different reason, the world was ending. But I don't remember any other details. Like, I don't remember why the world was ending or how I knew the world was ending. It was just like a meteor was coming, or like there was some kind of, something was happening where.
This is an end. You know, this is a dream. Your dream. Are you in the middle of ending some? Is there an ending in your life?
No.
There are no end. There's no relationship ending.
There's a lot of change. There's a lot of change happening.
Mm-hmm. There's change happening, but things are, well, change in what ways? Because you're showing to me that, but were you anxious in the dream, or you just said, oh, it's ending?
Yeah, I wasn't anxious in the dream. I just thought,
that's interesting. Some things in your life, what's going on in your life where you're ending something, but is something new coming along, replacing it with something new?
Oh my goodness. So much. So much is happening. A relationship may be ending, but it's not. It's to be
determined. I understand.
Determined. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a new city, a new job.
Your life is in flux, but what's happening in your dream life, because you didn't have a sense of anxiety, you were accepting it. You're in a place right now that I'm reading that you're in acceptance of change, and that you can handle something ending. Our dreams also, what they do for us, and it's really almost a spiritual thing. It's our psyche's way of preparing us for things, so that it's almost like a rehearsal of things to be. So you are being prepared for dramatic change, and the world ending is kind of dramatic. So, but you're preparing yourself for it in your subconscious mind, and you're okay with it. Because you didn't feel like, you didn't tell me you had anxiety, you weren't scared, you weren't running away, you were just accepting in this dream that was the case.
That was very interesting, because it did feel very just kind of like...
That's the way it is.
That's that, yeah.
I like it, that you're in a very good place for change. change to be. Now, let me tell you something about change. Something, we call that the creative void. For people who are really out on the tip of their arrow in life and experiencing life to the fullest and being open to the possibilities that the universe has to offer us, you are prepared to experience for a time the creative void. The creative void is that space in time where the universe wants to fill a void, but we have to create the void first for the universe to fill it with something new and better.
So if you look at it that way,
the void is a creative space. Now you will have the space for something new and better to come in, because the universe abhors a negative space. It will always want to fill a negative space. So don't be afraid of the creative void, because it's just something new and better coming.
Okay, I like it. I'm open to that.
I'm happy to hear that you're riding on the tip of your arrow now.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Me too. I'm happy to hear that too. Thank you for that confirmation.
Great work. Great dream.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Patricia, I got a email from somebody about a dream. She says, I'm in a cockpit of a helicopter. It was on the ground, but when I pushed on the pedal, it was out of control, going without me.
I don't know who this person is, but their head is going to take them in bad places. So get out of their head, and they better stay on the... Is this a female?
Yes, it is a female.
Yeah, we need to tell her to get out of her head. Do things to keep her grounded. She needs to stay grounded, and she's letting her head get away with her.
Good call. I think she's listening.
I hope so. Do whatever it takes to stay grounded, whoever's listening. And, okay. Sue has all kinds of tactics to help these ladies stay grounded, and I do too. And that's what we do. We want to stay grounded, because that's being in the feminine, staying in your body and out of your head. Now, of course, it's appropriate to be in your head when you're at work and being productive. We're all in our masculine when we are at work and being productive. But other than that, we want to be in our bodies, grounded, and in our dreams, when up is masculine and down is feminine. So that's just another little tidbit when it comes to dreams.
Thank you. Do you want to share your contact information again if they want to have a dream interpreted?
Yes.
So are you personally and work with you?
Yes, new listeners here. This is LA Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication and Dreams. So you can reach me personally through, sometimes you can contact Sue if you can't get a hold of me, at the WAN Institute. And my website is thedreamclass.com. Don't forget thedreamclass.com. My name is Patricia L. Tinge. My last name is spelled ELTINGE. And my book is called The Dream Class. Know your dreams, know yourself. And it's a great book for me to help you get into the depths of your own subconscious.
Oh, okay. I have more questions here since we don't have callers. Okay. I have a lady, and wants to be in a relationship. She's 39, heading on 40, doesn't care about kids, but does want somebody to hopefully take, have a relationship, marriage to help her. She's in her own business. So she wants to kind of have somebody to help her be a provider. And she's having a hard time with men, and she went out with a man, and something happened. She picked, I don't know the whole situation, but now she wants to contact him to be friends with benefits. How would she go about to recontact him to start that up?
She wants a lover. She wants a lover. We're not moralists here. So if you want
to, she did date this guy and she was interested and he hasn't he said something and she flagged him and he said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. And now he hasn't contacted her. So I think she wants him, but since
she's not going to have, if she does it this way, she's not going to have him as a future boyfriend.
She said she'll take him as a friends with benefits so she can doesn't have to be celibate. What's your thought on that? And what can she say to him to reach out to
ask him? If you want to have a lover, you can have a lover. And she wants to call it friends with benefits, fine. That's a lover situation. So you want somebody like that? The trick is, if you start having sex with them, you might fall in love with them. And you can make a deal where you're the only person, if you want to have we're the only people until future reference that we're having a sex with, that's a tricky place to be. Yes. With all the STDs and everything. Yes. In the world. And the other aspect is you risk falling in love with the person once you set it up as a lover deal or a friends with benefits, however you want
to
call it.
So she wants to know how to reach out to ask him if he'll be her friends with benefits. The tool
is you contact them, you text them if you want, say hi, you drop a hanky, but yes. You say, hi, I haven't heard from you in a while. And you're in this case, then you're coming from the masculine point, the masculine stance.
Yes.
And
yes,
saying basically you're flagging him that you're horny, but that's okay. We'll do it in the nicest way as possible. And you say, hi, so-and-so, Joe. It's here. I'm Sally here. And I'm wanting to get together and talk about anything. And when you get in person, if you want to get in person and talk about it, you say, I'm willing to be your lover.
Yes.
Or I'm willing to be friends. I'm willing to be friends with you with benefits. But if you want to make it safe, somehow you have to, everything is negotiable.
Yes.
Even friends with benefits.
Yes. So
it depends on what your comfort level is. Yes. You want to negotiate if you're going to be exclusive lovers physically while you're dating other people. Are you going to date other people?
How hard would that be, though, for her if she's looking for other men and she's having friends with benefits? He may tie up her time and she could be bonded and everybody else are doggy.
This is a risky situation. You will probably bond and nobody else, because she's still she's not postmenopausal.
Yes.
She will more than likely bond physically and everybody else will look like a toad. So that's what happens. Nobody else will look good at once you're having sex with the person. And nobody else will seem like they'll do. And you'll just be bonded to the person who is not going to be bonded to you.
Yes, that's the danger.
That's the risk. I'm not saying it's wrong.
I'm not either. I haven't said anything. I'm not a moralist either. To each his own.
There's a price and a prize to everything. And the prize would be, okay, I get my rocks off. And the price is potential bonding and then not make yourself available to other men.
Yes. And that could be dangerous if you're looking for a long-term committed partner headed towards marriage, because you could be bonded to the unavailable man. Very good.
You're setting that yourself up for that. But we tell these ladies that if you want to be, to pick what you want out of life too. Do you want to have your sex is more important to you than your security?
Yes. That's a good point.
It's better if you choose.
Yes.
Then if you're saying sex is more important to you, you are you're operating out of your masculine.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
So,
well, everybody, I guess, has to learn the lesson. You know, I can give them the information, but everybody's on their own path. And when she's ready and available, sometimes you know, you have to hit rock bottom before you start. I can only be the messenger. I can't make them do it.
Right. And it can take, once you bond with somebody and they may be unavailable, it could take up to 2 years to debond. Let's say that person goes and finds a full-time partner. And then where are you? No more lover situation, no more friends with benefits. And then it can be up to 2 years. You're going to be jonesing for sex with that person that you bonded with. There's a lot of pitfalls to it. Not saying it's wrong. There are pitfalls.
Yes, that's true. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. So that's some of the questions I have answers. If there's any callers out there, our call-in number is 323-203-0815. The first hour of Dr. Pat's show, we do relationship questions and answers. And the second half, we're focused more on dreams, but we'll take any calls at this time. If you have a relationship question, we'll be sure to happy to help you with that as well. In the meantime, let me see if I can pull up any other questions.
And no dreams are out of the question here. Anything goes. I mean, you can call us with your sex dreams, because you know what? Even if they seem like they're sex dreams, they're typically not really about sex. So this is what we love. There are no bad dreams. There are people who have nightmares or repeated dreams. I love people calling in with their repetitive dreams, because those are representing unresolved issues. And we can often help people resolve their issues through understanding these repetitive dreams.
And how would that look like? I mean, some people, when they have a trauma,
it's finally translated, they'll start getting into what it has caused this.
Say somebody has some issues with their parents. You know, they weren't the best parents, which most weren't, but they did the best they can. And they're very still angry at them, and they're not willing to let them go. And it's now starting to affect them seeing everybody is not good enough or is not giving to them. And she's isolated with no friends. Mm-hmm. And it's just a sad situation, but she's still holding on to the anger. How can dreams help her?
You can plant the seed in your dream book next to your bed before you go to sleep. You say in your dream book, how can I resolve this anger, the anger I feel? You pose the question to your own subconscious mind. How can I resolve this feeling of anger? And you're almost reaching out to the gods, to the universe, to bring you an answer in your dream. And you can night after, and just follow the system that I say in chapter 7 about keeping your eyes closed upon waking, and the images, and they'll seem wacky. Dream. Everyone always calls me, oh, I had the craziest dream. I had the weirdest dream. Or people call me and say, I don't dream. Well, first of all, everybody dreams. Every animal dreams, because that's our own body's way of detoxifying our brain. But in the meantime, this is where the work is done. The work can be accessed through the subconscious in our dreams, and we can plant the seeds in our dreams to help us resolve our issues. And you come to me and I dig it out of you.
Yeah, and that you do.
Well, Carlos Castaneda says, dreaming is the freedom to perceive worlds beyond the imagination. So I just love my little quotes in my book. I have lots of quotes, and even other ones from Dr. Pat Allen, who says, there are no bad dreams. All dreams wish us well, which is the absolute truth. All dreams wish us well because they're trying to come through to bring us messages for our personal growth and transformation. So people, call in with your dreams so we can mark forward.
Mark, move forward. Do you have any references of dreams that you've heard? Questions and answers that you've helped other people with that might help the audience?
Well, sometimes, I have various Well, a lot of times people say, oh, dreaming of flying, flying dreams. Everyone thinks it's great to fly. But let me tell you about flying dreams, and I talk about in my book, dreams in which an individual is flying represent a dreamer who is observing matters or working out problems from
them. We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Sorry to interrupt.
Good, Patricia. Good.
You're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a dream for us?
I do.
Okay,
I'm on a ship or galley. It seemed like it was a ship, the galley area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm climbing down to go up. I don't know what that is. To the loo. Like, I'm looking for the bathroom, I think. So I saw, and then I said, well, heard a cry. I heard crying, and I started making the sound of a baby. And and I guess one pointed, so it was like a little girl. She seemed like Polynesian or something, pointed her head out of the like carriage, and she like smiled at me, and the people who were pushing the carriage conveyed to me that people do that. They make those sounds. I don't know. Smiled like light skinned child, Polynesian, Hawaiian. The family smiled and said they thought it was cute. I made the sound. Then I went to sit on a toilet, but it was like a bidet, and there was water. But I went to the left. I guess it was on the left hand side. This whole knob of like massage, and I could do all this stuff with the area I was sitting on.
The fancy toilet. Okay, the fancy toilet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Contraction, like, yeah. And then left. And then, I started hitting the buttons. And there was a soothing on my rear, but it wasn't like, I mean, I was just thinking of like a vibrator, but it wasn't. It was just something that, yeah, I guess I do have a bidet, so I don't know if.
Right, I know. It's a fancy toilet that does everything, right.
Yeah. So I guess I just had like options at my fingertips, but I just recently had like oral surgery, and it was really tough. It hurt my right jaw. And I guess for me, I felt like I needed relief somehow in that dream.
Don't you start analyzing the dream here. Like, you're going to confuse me here. Waking life, you had a surgery. But in the meantime, in this dream, you're on the water. Uh-huh. And when we have water dreams, all water elements in our dreams represent our sensual, sexual relationship side of life. So you're on the water, you're on a ship. And so, but you're not in the water. You're on the water in a boat, and you're in the galley area, you're telling me, which is where the kitchen, for those who don't know, and that's where food is prepared. So that's where you get your nourishment, and you're still above water. So are you, before we go any further, are you in a relationship? Are you dabbling with a relationship?
Dabbling.
I see that. That's why you're on the water and not in the water. So you go down down is into your feelings. Whenever you go down in a dream, you're going into your feelings, and you're getting in touch with this little earthy child in you. And it was a female, but the female is something, it represents a the masculine side of you. So is there some new idea in your life? Since it's a baby, it's emerging. Mm-hmm. Some new idea or new project are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm more focused. I'm working on my ADD, and I guess things are coming more into like fruition, and I feel
it's emerging. That's the emerging, but there's something that's very earthy about this because it's a pollen. And are you Polynesian yourself? But
No.
So that's why I'm saying it. This represents the earthy side of you that's emerging.
Interesting.
There's something.
I mean, I am. And then you're. Go ahead.
What were you saying?
I was just going to say I'm dealing with actually elderly parents, and I'm trying to pitch to my siblings, like taking care of them in their older years and getting the trust and the will and all that stuff.
But there's this, baby, you're making these sounds, you're making the baby sounds for coming from you as well, right?
Yes.
So communicating, you're communicating with this sensation, this emerging something that you're having to deal with that is a little bit foreign to you. Have you done this, have to deal with this kind of stuff before?
No,
you haven't. That's why foreign. It's not.
Right.
So,
wow. That's
yes,
huge.
Gosh. It is. So you're dealing with something that you haven't done before and it's new, but you're checking in with your feeling. I like what you're doing because you go down into the dream. You're going down and you're checking in with your feelings about how you're going to go about this. So it's a very androgynous dream in that way because it's a project, yet you're checking in with how you feel about it, your comfort level.
Wow.
Communicate, making the sounds and saying, oh, how am I going to handle this? So in the meantime, you're soothing. You go to the bidet-like toilet and you are, it's a place of elimination, but also cleansing. And you're soothing yourself, but you're soothing the area where you're eliminating also. Now, that's also a water element. Is it splashing you at the time when you're on it?
Yes.
Okay. So in that way, that's a very rudimentary part of relating, because all water images represent your sensual, sexual side of yourself. So any sensuality. So you are self-soothing in a way. You are feeling, but our dreams also do that for us. I even say that. Sometimes when people stop drinking or using drugs, they may dream of drinking and using because there's a pressure valve release. Doesn't mean they're going to do it, but you are self-soothing in this dream while you're dealing with this foreign task. Foreign to you, but yet you're handling it, and you're trying to self-soothe along the way.
And it's a girl baby, but that's my masculine side, correct?
That's your mask. That's something you have to do. It's a new project that you're having to handle.
Yeah.
You're communicating with this emerging thing that's so foreign to you, but you are. You're not running away from it. You're even communicating with it the best you can. You're dealing with it the best you can.
Wow.
And that is this stuff you're dealing with, right? You're telling me you're dealing with this. And so our subconscious mind is really reflecting. It's like a barometer of where we're at, but it's also helps us indicate, besides being a barometer of how we're handling things, but it's indicating you to go ahead and keep communicating in this way. Keep you're going. You're figuring it out.
So I'm on the right track. Yeah, got it. I'm on the right track.
You're on the right track. And you're in the meantime. You're handling it because you're also figuring out how to self-soothe while you're handling something that's foreign to you.
Got it. Great. And how about the lever thing on the left?
The going to the left was the levers?
Yeah. Yeah.
The left is the receptive side of you. The left is the feminine. So were you operating the levers? Or the levers were just there?
I went to go look at them, but I was like kind of afraid and not sure.
Well, going left would be going towards your feeling, towards your feminine. So
got it.
You were checking in with your feminine, and even going down on this ship, you're still checking in. You're doing well because you're dealing with a project, yet you're still in your feminine and you're checking in with your feelings on how you're doing it.
Oof, thank you.
Which is very good. We want to be balanced between our masculine and feminine sides. And I talk about that in my book, how we balance our masculine and feminine energies.
Yes, you do. I have your book and I love it. And I just wanted to put a pitch to your work because I got a consult from you one time and you were talking about exercise and I was like, I may be doing boxing, but you're like, do swimming and do dancing or something. And I'm doing both the last like 4 months. And I'm telling you, changing my life. I'm getting dates. It's like, I need to dance. I need to be in water.
Good for you. You do the water. Stay in your feminine.
Yes.
5-star review if you like the book.
Okay, I will. I promise. Thank right. you, ladies, so much. It's
thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. That was a good call.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, I have another question. Okay. There's a lady who hasn't dated in a while. She broke up from a 5-year relationship. She's older, probably in her 50s, and she's terrified to go out and date. What kind of help can you get women that, you know, they have a block to be open and available to push the arrow through to go out and even be available to meet men? What would you suggest?
Well, what we want to do is incrementally desensitize to being around not just men, but people. Start by putting yourself out in the world with people. What has happened in this day and age, and especially since COVID, my gosh, people have been locked up and separated from each other for so long. And now people need to jumpstart to be around other human beings again. And, you know, one of the worst things that's happening in the world right now, and they talk about it in the literature and all the newsletters I read, is loneliness is causing people to be sick. So we want you to be around people, for starters, men and women.
Yes.
And go out in the world and sit at the Starbucks and just start bring your phone or whatever or book or something and look up and smile at people. Go to the market and smile at the person who's bagging your groceries.
Yes, just to get comfortable approaching and talking to people.
To get comfortable smiling at another human being and getting a reaction. This is the mirror neuron we're stimulating. When you smile at someone and they smile back, it does something for our chemistry. And it's a positive input to our hormonal system. We need, as we're animals, and the human animal needs to be around people. So go to a park. I don't know if you have a dog, but go to the dog park or go to the car wash or the supermarket, the Starbucks, and stay there for a while. Go smile at people. I always tell people when you're going on a walk where people like to walk their dogs, stop and say, oh, what a cute doggy to people, men and women, whatever. Get used to being around people and pet other people's dogs. Say, oh, does your dog bite? You know, whatever. But it's just a nice opener to say, oh, what a cute dog. What kind of dog is this?
And when I'm in an
when I'm in an elevator with people, I bend down and pet other people's dog. Oh, what a cute doggy. And it starts helping you come out of your shell.
Anybody out there have any more callers? I'm sure that people are wondering about Dr. Allen, Dr. Pat. She's doing fine. She does quite a bit of ladies groups. So she has turned over the radio show for time being to me and Patricia. We will have her back on as a guest when her workload lightens up. I know that everybody's missing Dr. Pat, but she will be back and she is available and she does have ladies groups available. So if you want to be on that list, contact me at the office, and she is still available to do life scripts. And she does go over the hi-bye letter, as a lady called in earlier that had Dr. Allen review. If you want to hire her to do scripts or hi-bye letters or be in her ladies groups, you can contact me at info@drpatallen.com or call the office at 949-723-0338. Is there any questions you want to ask me, Patricia?
Well, I love the work you're doing, and I get some spillover from your ladies groups, and they're just growing in leaps and bounds, and I love it. And then I work with them with their dreams or some other issues. I do their life scripts with them, and it's a nice synergistic approach to help people with their personal growth. It's really, really nice to work with people who are on the same team and working together.
Usually my ladies, they join my ladies groups and we dig a little deeper and find out they may have some attachment styles, the anxious avoidant. I very rarely get secure people, but then we dig deeper and find out that they have, you know, issues with mommy and daddy. So I send them over to Patricia to dig that up, because if you don't clean up what is familiar, your love language, what you grew up with, it carries over to every person, every man you meet.
And then it contaminates.
It does. It really does.
You want to be able to, what I say, what I do is like an archaeological dig, and dig up some of the stuff from your past, from actually everything we're scripted from 6 months in utero. That means when you're an embryo, 6 months in the embryo, you are starting to get input that programs you. And the programming continues as you grow up from all the different sources, whether it's your parents and your schools and your churches and temples and movies and TV shows. We get all this input that programs our behavior and our attitudes. And then at some point in our life, we can reevaluate all that stuff of our programming and decide what still it works for us. And we can also say what no longer serves us. And we can then learn how to disengage from the toxic or the unneeded patterns. Mm-hmm. And that's the process.
That's
a life script. And so that's how Eric Burns' work and Dr. Pat Allen's work of androgynous semantic realignment, which is an offshoot of Eric Burns' work. And so that Eric Burns' work is transactional analysis, and that's what we are, a transactional analyst with androgynous semantic realignment training as well. And that is how we are able to grow in our lives when we want to transform and not just run off of old programs.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to be closing up the show now. We have no callers. So is there anything else you want to add to the end of the closing, Patricia?
Well, let's see here. Let me get a quote here from my book, maybe.
Oh, good.
Yes. Ooh. Let's see. Ooh. I'll read a little excerpt here. Water elements in dreams, because that's relationships and the sensual sexual side of ourselves. Water can be in the form of oceans, lakes, rivers, ponds, swimming pools, waterfalls, puddles, geysers, frozen bodies of water, water dripping, rain, harbors, boiling water, ice cubes. Water or liquids represent the sensual sexual or relationship aspects that our unconscious wants to bring to our awareness. Is the dreamer being swamped by a relationship? Sometimes people dream of tidal waves. Struggling in water refers to one's feelings of vulnerability in a relationship. Is the dreamer about to give up on something that is overwhelming them, especially in their romantic life? Even falling in love can be scary, which is sometimes represented by drowning. Sometimes the dreamer is blissfully floating in a beautiful tropical body of water, indicating that they are in harmony with their relationship side of life.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, folks, please call us next week for the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication. And then at 5 o'clock, we'll have Patricia Eltage do her dream interpretation. Until then, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.